Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook at www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia. That's where you'll find more than 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player, perhaps including some read by today's guests. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia. So where was I before the commercial? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and corporate headquarters of the Home Shopping Network, St. Petersburg, Florida.
You are listening to a show on the Radio Nostalgia Network, which is also a member of the new Blueberry Network at blueberry.com. That is BLUBRRY.com.
Correctly with the correct amount.
The longest running drama ever, Guiding Light, has entertained radio and television fans for over 66 years. Set in the fictional city of Springfield, this drama focuses on the complex lives of the close-knit Bauer, Spalding, Lewis, Marler, and Cooper families. Premiered in 1937 on the radio and entered now into its 69th year of broadcasting, this great soap opera. Each week we'll do two episodes, and now, The Guiding Light.
Put new duds in your washing machine, finest duds you've ever seen. Bigger news now when you sing, D-U-Z does everything.
The new Duds brings you The Guiding Light, created by Erna Phillips.
Well, you don't have to be an afternoon soap opera fan to know and appreciate that a giant passed when CBS turned off the power on Guiding Light on September 18, 2009. The show was the longest-running drama in broadcast history, having started on NBC Radio in 1937 as a 15-minute serial and moving to CBS Television in 1952. It went on to rack up 16,000 episodes. That's just an amazing number, isn't it? Now, the stars of the show are on a grand farewell tour around the United States, thanking their fans for their decades of support. And joining me today to talk about their Saturday, March 27, 2010 appearance at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa, Florida, are Guiding Light stars Kim Zimmer and Robert Newman. Now, before they do, let me tell you that from 11 a.m. until noon that day, five key cast members of Guiding Light will be on hand to answer fan questions. Then for three more hours, from 1 to 4 p.m., there will be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to take photos and get hugs from your favorite stars, including Kim Zimmer, Grant Alexander, Robert Newman, Justin Diaz, and Michael O'Leary. Now, to purchase tickets, and they ask that you be 18 and older only, please, for the March 27th Goodbye Guiding Light event, please visit www.goodbyeguidinglight.com. That's solid, goodbye. GuidingLight.com. Tickets are $35 and may also be purchased at Ticketmaster outlets and at the Hard Rock retail store inside the casino. For more information, you can call 813-627-ROCK or 813-627-7625. Having said that, Kim Zimmer and Robert Newman, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are
you
guys?
Can you hear Kim?
Is this Kim speaking?
Yeah, hi, Kim.
Hi, Robert.
How are you, doll?
I had no idea if I was on or not.
Yeah, me neither.
No, you're
but here we are.
You're on.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
That's okay.
I
was sitting listening to your show going, I wonder if he's ever going to talk to me.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
That's all right. So did you guys ever think when you signed on for the show that you'd wind up one day being on the farewell tour for it?
Well, I signed on to the show of October 1981. I signed a three-year deal and thought, in fact, I left at the end of that three-year deal thinking that that was going to be it for me with Guiding Light. And then I returned a couple years later, and here I am 28 years later and doing the farewell tour. So I would say no, I didn't think that that's where I would be 28 years later, not at that time anyway.
We all laugh about the fact that we're on the Cher tour, you know, the tour that never dies. which is fine with a lot of us because it's been a real wonderful experience to be able to travel to so many different cities and get to meet the people one on one and say so long.
And the world has changed so much. I mean, 1980, 1990, even 10 years ago, I think most people thought of these shows as things that would just be part of our lives forever, and that's why I asked the question. I mean, you know, Robert, when you signed on, and I mean, who would have ever guessed that something like this would come to an end? I mean, it was an institution.
Yeah, because I mean, even when I signed on, the show had already been on for a very, very, very long time, and you know, soap operas have come and gone in the past, and shows that were, I guess, as old as Guiding Light, they certainly came and went. Search for Tomorrow, things like that, Another World, but you know, Guiding Light did something that I don't think any other show, daytime or nighttime or in any other format, will ever do. You know, as you said earlier, we produced almost 16,000 episodes by the time we went off the air. 72 years from when it first started in radio in 1937. You know, that's just never, ever, ever going to happen again. And yeah, I think that there was a part of me that thought it was never going to never going to end. But
soap opera isn't over because it exists in nighttime. You know, I mean, nighttime television is soap opera as well. It's just happening at nighttime. You know, there's so many serialized television shows in nighttime that, you know, totally came from daytime, you know, as far as they're just doing it week to week instead of every day.
With a bigger budget and more time, too. I mean, my family and I just started watching Mad Men. We're watching season 7 of Mad Men, yeah. And I turned to my wife and I said, "This is just a soap opera. This is no different than what we've been doing. I did for, you know, almost 30 years. It's the same stuff. They just take more time. They've got more money, and you know, they make it look a little bit better. But actually, it's the same idea."
Let me ask you this, and I'm sure you get asked this a lot. Were either of you prepared financially or in terms of your careers for the end when it came, or, you know, do you have to kind of punt and, you know, refigure what you're going to do?
I'm punting, babe. I live in a house that the property taxes are $33,000 a year, and you forget that that's something you have to continue to pay when you don't have the paycheck coming in. So we're having to rethink our life. So, you know, it is tough when you get so accustomed to, that's what's so great for actors about daytime television is that it goes on. If you're a popular character, it's a great gig. You know, I had I raised three children doing daytime television and do live in a fabulous home in a great bedroom community right outside Manhattan. And, you know, we don't need this. We don't need our, thank God we don't need it anymore because our children are all adults now and living on their own. So it was time for us to downsize anyway. But yeah, that's stuff that you do have to think about, you know, and I'm 55 years old and the jobs for a 55-year-old woman are few and far between. So, I mean, it's a new, I'm embracing it. Okay.
And Robert?
There's a couple things that are going on right now. One is that, you know, all of the soap operas that are still on the air are struggling. They're really struggling. And I think everybody's sort of waiting to see, you know, where the dust is going to settle, say, 2 or 3 years from now. You already know that As the World Turns is going off the air. All My Children moved to Los Angeles. That leaves only one soap opera, One Life to Live, here in New York City, and it's hanging on, barely. And now you've got five out in New York. So the soap opera market is potentially going away. I mean, at least it could go away in the way that we know it. And then on top of that, too, this business is just so can be just really brutal in this way, that you can be an actor for, you know, 25, 30 years. Kim and I together, I mean, we've probably shot thousands of episodes between the two of us of Guiding Light, done more work than most actors will do in their entire lifetime. And yet, when you leave a show like that, you walk into a casting office, you got the same chance as the guy who started acting yesterday.
Right.
You know, they're just looking for who's right for this role right now in this moment. And the business is tough in that way. So, you know, for me, it's I find that I'm sort of working toward reinventing myself in different ways, almost rebranding myself to not necessarily distance myself from my work on the soap. I'm very proud of the work that Kim and I did together and that I did on the soap. But, you know, I have to be able to walk into casting office. I need to be able to walk into a casting office and still have to win the role in the same way that other actors do, who, as I said earlier, you know, might have just started acting yesterday. It's a tough business in that way.
I would think you would have to, in your mind, just, you know, kind of do a reset, like you were saying, that, you know,
mm-hmm.
okay,
well, and
I did
that
for...
Right, I also think that when you're a popular character on a daytime soap, there's also that feeling of, well, she was Reva for 28 years,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So they're not as ready to cast you. I mean, some people do. I mean, the younger kids are. We've got a lot of people that have gotten new jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when, like, I know with me personally, the character of Reva was so over the top and so larger than life that, you know, that is going to be difficult. You know, I mean, there's interest, but there's also fear on the part of the casting or the executive producers or writers, that they don't want it to just be a revamped Reva Shane. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We were both incredibly blessed to have been working on this show for the period of time that we both did. And, you know, when I also think about what's going on with my corporate friends in the, you know, what's going on in all across the country, people are losing their jobs like crazy. And, you know, this is part of people's lives where every once in a while, things fall out from under you, and you have to sort of approach life in a very different way. And in answer to your question 20 minutes ago, in that respect, I think I was prepared. I think I was ready for, you know, this to end and to face the challenge and the new opportunities that are laid out there before me. I think I was mentally ready for that. And I'm excited by it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on
you
there. Kim, take us back to when you got the role on Guiding Light. How did you get the role? How did you find out? And then what was your first week on set like?
Well, I had sworn off. I'd had a bad experience with another show where I signed a 3-year contract and I was let go after six months.
Hmm.
The story just played itself out. It was a popular story and it just ran its course. So I was my husband and I moved out to Los Angeles with our young daughter, who is not even one yet. She's now going to be 28, and we were going to pursue work in California. And I had said I was never going to do another soap. I was done with it. I'd done 4 years on another show, and I was tired of it. So then I got a call from my agent, who said there was a breakdown that came out for a character. Contract role on Guiding Light, and I said, no, stop right there, I'm not interested. And he said, I really think you should read the character breakdown because I think it's going to be something you're going to want to do. So I did, and I flew back to New York, I auditioned. I wasn't the head writer or the executive producer's first choice for the role. They wanted a redhead, you know, a ballsy redhead, and I was blonde with blue eyes. And then I did my tape test with Robert and Jordan Clark, and we had a ball, and I got the call that I'd gotten the job, and it was kind of like buyer's remorse when you buy your first house, and you go, oh, wow, good, they took our offer. Okay, now what do we do? Now we move back to New York. So, but it was the best decision I ever made, as well as being pushed by my agent to do it. And, it afforded me a fantastic lifestyle and the ability to raise three children in a really wonderful way. So, you know.
And Robert, mm-hmm. how was your character introduced? And then what was the strangest twist that you ever endured as a character?
Oh, I had had a few. I had a couple of them, and so did Kim. I came into the show on October of 1981. I was cast actually as a bad guy. Josh was a bad guy way back then. Douglas Marlin was writing the show, and he was sort of the black sheep of the Lewis family. He rebelled against the family's sort of dynasty and came to Springfield to wreak havoc. And fans hated me. You know, I was stealing Morgan away from Kelly. They were the big couple on the show at the time, and blackmailing Leslie Ann and all these things. And I remember about a year into the show, they had some oil rig disaster that happened down in Venezuela. And Josh was part of Lewis Oil at that time, and he went down to Venezuela, and they literally had me handing out money to widows and orphans of those who had died on the oil rigs, and he had this sort of epiphany that he was going to start to live his life a different way. And that was really, I think, when Pam Long had come in to write the show, and she just felt that I would be better served as a good guy, as a hero on the show. And that's how I played the character from then on. And then the best twist that ever happened in my entire history of Guiding Light, the best twist that ever happened was the story that Kim just told of the week that she came in and auditioned for Reva and became Reva Shane. That changed everything.
We had a great time.
I mean, everybody hearing this is going to be going, aww.
Aww.
Yeah. That wasn't the strangest twist.
Yeah,
no,
that wasn't the strangest. That
I think probably cloning my dead wife and growing her from birth to 40 in six weeks with a rapid growth formula, that was probably the strangest twist of the show. I'm just throwing it out there. You think, Kim?
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, time traveling through Crystal Chappelle's breath.
That was a good story. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, in that same period of time, I also had my another, what I thought was a dead wife, come back from the grave. I've had three wives, I think, return from the dead. And she had this special aftershave lotion that she would rub on me, and then I would do whatever she told me to do. So those three stories happened within like a three-year period.
See, I would think it would be that she would rub a special perfume on her, and then you would do whatever. But okay,
that would be better for me.
Yeah,
that would have been better for me.
And Kim, what was kind of a similar question? But what was the best and the dumbest plot twist for your character over the years?
Well, I can kind of fill that out in one big story, saying that when they had Reva attempt suicide, I hated that and didn't believe that Reva would ever attempt suicide, no matter how bad things were. Mm. But that story ended up catapulting my character into an entirely different direction. Robert was off the show at the time. And so I had a new relationship with a new man that had come to town by the name of Kyle Sampson, and I thought Reva would never love anyone else the way she loved Josh, and they were able to, bring this new guy on the show, and we were able to have this wonderfully romantic storyline, and so it was the worst and one of the best plot twists that you know I dealt with all in one storyline. So, you know, I answered it with I killed two birds with one stone. There you go.
You did. So let me ask you guys this, and I kind of asked you those questions to get to this. How do you feel about the wrap up of your storylines and your characters? Obviously, I'm sure you're unhappy that the show's come to an end, but in terms of the characters, how do you feel about the way things wrapped up?
Tough question. You could ask 20 fans that question, you'd get 20 different answers. They had a issue that they had to deal with of trying to wrap up a lot of storylines in a relatively short period of time between the time we were given our notice of cancellation and the time the show went off the air. I think it was about 3 months, which sounds like a long time, but in telling soap opera stories, that's not a very long time. And so, as you might know, they did this bit at the end of the last show where they did 1 year later. And I think I was pretty happy with that. I mean, it ended the way I think it needed to end, which was with Josh and Reva together, and somehow the word always came into play, and we were driving off in a truck with a lighthouse in the background, so that all seemed to be right. It was difficult to get through the stories leading up to that end, though, because I think they just couldn't quite work out how to bring everything closure to everything. So some things got sort of left out that shouldn't have been.
Right. Mm. I agree with him, what he said.
Are you doing something else now, Kim?
No.
Are you playing some video game on the side?
I'm watching my dog misbehave, so.
Yeah, whatever he just said, that's fine.
I thought the way they wrapped up the Philip Allen Spalding storyline was very touching.
Yeah,
and that I believe worked really, really well, and Alan got to be the superhero at the end there by saving his son's life and then dying in the process. So I like that, and I do agree with the fact that Josh and Reva had to be together at the end. I didn't like the fact that it kind of left my present husband out in limbo land with people wondering, why he never returned, or at least saw Josh and Reva go off into the sunset together. You know, at least that would have been something. But
interesting, yeah.
It just was never. It was never. That story just kind of ended weirdly. So that's just personal. I do like the fact that they got, Mindy and Rick together, and Philip and Beth together.
Mm-hmm.
The original four Musketeers, I guess. So, I mean, I think they were really trying to make as many fans happy as they possibly could there at the end.
That's a tricky thing. I mean, how do you really end a show that's been, 15,782 episodes later? What do you do at the end? I think they did what they could do, and some of it worked, and some of it could have worked better.
Hmm. Now, when we see parodies of soap operas, it's things like, what happened on Dallas? That, she goes into the shower and comes out and she's got a different husband, or
right.
Or somebody goes into a deep coma and they come out and they've got a different face. Any favorite moment like that over the years where somebody was replaced quietly or not so quietly, or?
Well, when they replaced my sister Cassie. Robert had scenes with her where one day ended with the one actress playing the character, and then the scene was a direct pickup the next day, and they directly picked it up in their same positions with a new actress playing my sister.
Right. Even backed up and did a couple of the same lines of dialogue that I had just done the day before with Laura Wright, yeah. But to me, your question sounds more like not necessarily somebody replacing, but it made me think of some great, great moments that happened on Guiding Light that'll always be sort of etched in my mind. And a lot of those happened around what we called the Cat on a Hot Tin Roof storyline, which was when Josh was in a wheelchair living with Reva and HB, his father, who were married to each other at the time. And there were several scenes around that, particularly as one of the most famous is probably the Reva fountain scene where Reva's, I think that is like an iconic scene that if you were to do a Saturday Night Live take off on something from Guiding Light, it would be something like that. I've also always been a huge fan of the very first Josh and Reva wedding. That was just one of the most amazing days of shooting that I think we experienced in our entire time there. And it was a gorgeous, gorgeous show.
Well, before we run out of time, you guys are going to be appearing as part of the Goodbye Guiding Light appearance on this Saturday, March 27th, 2010, at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino here in Tampa, Florida. Tell folks what they can expect when they see you. How does this go? What'll happen?
Well, there's a wonderful, we all get introduced, and then there's a wonderful question and answer period where we encourage the fans to ask us the most difficult and controversial and, just go for the guts of your questions, because that makes the most, that creates a lot of fun on stage for us as well as the audience. So everybody who's coming, think up some really good questions to ask us. And then we have, this time where I don't know how they're going to set it up, but we're usually set up in pairs. Robert and I are usually together for picture taking where, I give lots of hugs. So it's there's no velvet rope. There's nothing separating us from the fans. So it's a really nice afternoon, I believe. I've enjoyed them.
Right.
I have too.
Exhausting
I think
and everything,
the fans
but we enjoy them.
Well, folks, listen, if you are interested in this, it's March 27th, 2010, at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa. It starts at 11 a.m., continues till 4 p.m. You can get tickets at goodbyeguidinglight.com. They're $35 each. You can also purchase them at Ticketmaster outlets. And if you're here in the Tampa Bay area, at the Hard Rock retail store inside the casino. For more information, you can call 813-627-ROCK or 7625. Kim and Robert, it was wonderful to talk to you. I so appreciate your time today and wish you both a lot of luck.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care and thanks again
Thank
for
you,
being
you
on the
too.
Show.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Kim.
And folks, for more interviews with your favorite TV stars, surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. You can go to www.audiblepodcast.com/Mr. Media to get a free audiobook download of your choice from more than 75,000 in stock when you sign up today. Again, that's www.audiblepodcast.com/MRMedia for your free audiobook. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Andelman or facebook.com/Andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it when you give up a piece of your day and spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been Guiding Light. Tomorrow for another full hour of Guiding Light.